Good morning. It is Sunday, April the 7th. When we've been looking at our text for the year, we've been talking about how God is wanting to do a new thing and how we need to be prepared to see it happening and to enter into with what God has in store and what he has in mind. So our text for the year, starting in Isaiah 43, verse 18, says, "Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." The wasteland, again, was something that the people of Israel were very familiar with. The Negev was a desert area that was south of Jerusalem. It actually, in this current day, makes up about a third of the nation of Israel. It's a significant landmass and a significant part of the people's experience of their land. It's very dry. Even in the area of it close to the Mediterranean that receives the absolute most rainfall, receives about 12 inches of rain a year. By comparison, the area that we live in receives about 36 inches of rain a year. Now, in a comparison, that's about one third. There are, however, areas of the Negev that are so dry, they receive less than 3 inches of rain a year. How do I visualize that for us? Well, let's look at this. This cup of water represents the amount of rainfall that we receive typically in soggy shores. By comparison, this, and this cup is only about half full, is what 3 inches of rain would represent. Now, I don't, you know, mean to make light of this or anything like that, but let's put it this way. If you were really, really thirsty, that is a small glass of water. It's probably not going to satisfy your thirst. That is even less. That is almost a joke. That's what they were looking at when they saw a region that was a wasteland. They looked at it and said, it's a waste. There is nothing that's going to grow on that land. Now, part of what influences what grows is not only the amount of rain it receives, the amount of water that pours on it and into it, but it also has to do with the soil itself. And you know, when we talk about soil, that is a very familiar concept to followers of Christ. When we look at our lives, we often refer to it in connection with the parable of the sower as the soil of our hearts and the productivity that results from it. The people of Israel and the Bible itself were people that received the idea of agricultural analogies and parables. They received those very well. As someone who grew up on a farm, I get it also. When we didn't get that much rain, it impacted the way the crops grew and everything. But I also saw something interesting take place, and that was this. You could have a field where the same amount of rain was obviously falling on the entire field, but there were areas where the crop would grow well and not so well. Part of our land was clay. And when clay got dried out, it got hard. It was, you know, cracked in some places, and it was literally rock hard. And even when it rained, it would take a while for it to soak in. We had other areas on our farm that were sandy, almost like a loam, where it was, you know, it readily accepted the water that was pouring down on it or running into it. It received it readily. And that's where the parallel hits. When Jesus was talking about the parable of the sower in Matthew and then again in Luke chapter 8, verses 5 through 15, He describes soil and the effect that it had on the growth that could be anticipated. He talked about the pathway, which, you know, I can relate to. When I saw a path that either the cows on our farm or that the implements had ridden over many, many times and walked upon many, many times, the reality is it got hard. And nothing grew there. Anything that attempted to grow would get run over. Or in the case of the parable of the sower, any seed that fell on the path would get picked away by the birds. And nothing grew there. Then there was rocky soil. And, you know, my experience with rocky soil is that, yes, crops spring up really quick. But the problem there is that they tend to dry out very quickly as well. Rocks don't retain moisture. It falls on them, and then when the sun comes out, it dries right off. And so then soil that is rocky, well, it doesn't have that advantage of the soil itself being pure, and so the rocks tend to create an evaporation cycle that accelerates the drier it gets. And so a plant that's in rocky soil just doesn't thrive. It struggles because it has to send down roots really, really hard. And the rocks tend to dry the soil out faster than it normally would. Then there's the soil that has weeds growing in it. And, you know, enough said. If you're competing for moisture and the capacity of the soil, well, if you've got things that are competing for, you know, those nutrients and that moisture, well, then the average plant is going to be suffering because it's working against everything else that's there. And then you have the good soil that, you know, causes plants to thrive. The moisture, it's taken in and it's translated into a plant that's healthy and strong. And, you know, there it is. The moisture and the soil, they all compete, or they all contribute, rather, to whether it's a productive plant or less so. And the application of it goes straight to us. We are plants. And the soil of our hearts can make a huge difference as to whether we have that dynamic growth going on, you know, whether we're taking in the nutrients we need, the moisture, all of that, or whether it's having minimal impact. You know, Luke notwithstanding, there's another passage that translates this concept and communicates it really, really well. And that's found in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 6. And the writer of Hebrews is speaking to people who understand this concept and is also speaking, as the author makes it clear, is speaking to people who know the truth. And so, having received the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and having, you know, that truth planted in the soil of their hearts, having, you know, the moisture that is the teaching of God's word and the influence of the church, there is every expectation then that there would be healthy growth that results. And the writer of Hebrews in chapter 6 had this to say about crops and people that do and don't produce. It says in verse 7, "Land that drinks in the rain often falling on it and produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed receives the blessing of God." You know, it's spoken well of and as a result receives even more. But interestingly, "But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless. It's in danger of being cursed. And in the end, it will be burned." Now, you know, if it was only talking about plants and crops, then this would be a book about, you know, agriculture. But it isn't. It's a book written to people. And there's the application. You know, as followers of Jesus Christ, What have we received? We've just been through Easter. And, you know, when we remind ourselves of all of what Christ has done for us, it's a pretty clear challenge for us to look at ourselves then and to say, okay, what have I done with it? You know, am I the land that has taken in the good, received it all, and produced a crop, you know, of service for God, of witness for Him? Am I giving back as freely as I have received? Or am I the kind of person who has taken in, but what has resulted in my life are thorns and thistles? You know, my experience is that thorns and thistles can grow in pretty dry environments, but they can also grow when things are looking pretty good. It just really depends on whether they're allowed to take root or not. And that speaks to our hearts. We have to ask ourselves, what have we allowed to take root in our hearts, and is it interfering, hindering the work that God wants to do? This sermon is an introduction to what we're going to be looking at over the next number of months. We want to ask ourselves, what are the keys to being productive, and what are the keys to living in that blessing of God? Not again so that, you know, we're blessed and we just keep getting and getting. No. The whole point of being blessed is so that we can return it. You know, again, the passage in Hebrews chapter 6 makes it abundantly clear. If we're perpetually blessed but don't put out, well, then we're in danger of being cursed. And we're in danger of having cut off from us those blessings that we've enjoyed. It's a call for introspection. What have we done with what we've been given? You know, the Negev, as a desert in Israel, can actually be really productive. There are areas where, you know, in and around Beersheba, it's a phenomenal growing area. And the difference is whether it's poured into and worked or whether it's just let go and just gets what it gets. Over the next number of months, we're going to be asking ourselves that question. Am I living in the light of God's blessing in a way that pours out on others, or am I living to receive? And if that's the case, I have to have a check on my heart and on my life, because there's a danger present. These are the things we're going to be considering. The month of April is an exciting time for us as a church. On April 21st, we're going to be having our children's service, and that's going to be an exciting look at all of the things that are taking place in our Builders program. You know, we've got lots of volunteers who are helping out in that area, and we're seeing neat things happen with our kids. It's going to be an excellent time for us together as a church family. Let's take a moment and pray right now. In these months ahead, we want to be able to celebrate the good things that God is giving us, and as well, the good things that we're seeing that flow out of our lives as a result of that. It's a call for introspection. It's a call to be productive in all that God has given us. Let's pray. Father, we've come through this Easter season, and again, it's that reminder to us of all that we've been given. Jesus Christ died for sinners. And like Paul, we say we are chief of those. We've been forgiven, set free. But free to do what? How do we live in the light of all that we've been given? Father, that's what we want to look at. That's what we want to delve into. And we want to show and perceive from God's word that when we receive, our lives will be a demonstration. We will show all that we've been given, because we'll be returning it. We'll be pouring it out freely. Father, help us in this. As we need introspection, Lord, let it be that we look carefully at our hearts and our lives. Help us to live in the abundance that you've provided. But Lord, help us also to abundantly bless the world around us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you.